Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 1 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, if you were here last week, we learned about spiritual gifts and what they were. And now, this week, we're talking about the body of Christ. So we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 12 to 30. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And now I will show you a more excellent way, which is love. Okay, let's pray. Father, we want to ask you to help us understand this portion of Scripture We need your help. We ask you to teach us, and may it bear fruit in our life. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we heard about the spiritual gifts, and really this portion of Scripture is talking about using those spiritual gifts. Each one of us, if you were not here, you ought to know that when you got saved, you received a spiritual gift, at least one, and some people received even more. So we talked about, the question was, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Now, I would encourage you to get the CD, and that would help you if you were not here, to find out what your spiritual gift is. If you don't know what it is, maybe you can ask one of us, and maybe we can tell you. Just by the fact that you're here and you come on a regular basis, we can use to get an idea what your spiritual gifts are when you put them to good use. We talked about, we compared it to a muscle. If you don't use a muscle, it gets weak. Likewise, if you don't use your spiritual gifts, your faith becomes weak. And we don't want that, do we? Amen. So in these verses, Paul compares the human body with the church, the body of Christ. Now, the human body, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's some facts regarding the human body. Do you know that we are 60% water? We're made up of 60% water. So that means we're not fat, we're just flooded. All right? And did you know? Sound like Michael Caine. Do you know that there were 100 billion nerves in the human body? Now, you'll find out all kinds of stuff here, let me tell you. 100 billion nerves in the human body, and certain people have the ability to irritate them all. Yes, I know it. Like all churches, there's always going to be problems, because where there's people, there are problems. And it was no different in the Corinthian church. They seem to have a lot more than we do, thank God. They were arguing about who was their favorite preacher. I like Paul. No, I like Apollos. I like Peter. Don't like the other two. They were carnal. They were arguing about who had the best spiritual gifts. They were jealous because they didn't have the spiritual gifts that other people had, etc., etc. We know the problems. They were getting drunk, some of them. They weren't following the Lord's Supper in the correct way, so Paul had to write and to try to correct these issues. He had to try to correct their carnal attitudes. And he wrote this letter. And he compares the members of a human body with the members of Christ. We are the body of Christ. He emphasizes that every single part of the body of Christ is important. Did you know that you are important? You say, well, I'm not important. Yes, you are. The Bible says so. Each one is important. Every single person is important. Not everybody like me is called to be an evangelist or a pastor or a shepherd. But someone has to preach, someone has to teach, someone has to rebuke if necessary, and also guide the flock. Not everyone needs to sing or play piano or organ, but somebody does, amen? Somebody has to do it. Not everyone needs to serve on church boards, make hospital visits, organize functions, but somebody does, amen? Not everybody prays for those in need or writes notes of encouragement, visit the needy, pass out bulletins, but somebody needs to do it, don't they? Not everyone has to say a word of encouragement or mow the grass, do chores around the place, but somebody has to do it, don't they? Every one of us is important. Every one of us has been equipped by the Holy Spirit to do these things and more to glorify God and serve one another, to serve the church in some unique way. Amen? We can't do it all by ourselves. We cannot. Some people try. They want total control. What do you call them? Control freaks. They want total control. They want to be involved in every single thing. They want to do everything their way. But they can't do it all by themselves. The church needs each one of us to use our spiritual gifts, our abilities, our talents that God has given to each one of us. Every one of you matters. Each and every one of you, you are important. So I'm not important. I'm nothing. Well, that's a good attitude to take, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble as well. But not false humility. It's not going to get us anywhere. Remember, God doesn't have favorites. He's no respecter of persons. Every one of us individually is important. Every single one of us. Each one of us needs to function as one body. Paul writes in verse 25, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Also, I was looking at Romans as well, and he talks about divisions within the church. Romans chapter 16, you can find it, 17 and 18, if I got it right. He said, now I urge you, brothers, note those who cause divisions. All right, the stirrers. You always get stirrers, whether in the secular world or the spiritual realm, even within the church. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. And that's one thing, to have the gift of discernment, to know the difference between those who are trying to deceive you. People are going to tell you lies to make you get on their side. So you know the story. There should be no lone ranger Christians within the body of Christ. No lone ranger Christians. No, I don't know, what's the word? What's the modern word vernacular for it? Rogues within the body of Christ. But some are. No lone ranger Christians. Even lone ranger had Tonto. You ever seen the Lone Ranger? He had Trigger as well. Was that the name of the horse? Was it Trigger? No, that was the other guy. Silver, of course it was. Who else would it have been? Hi-o, Silver! Away! And I still don't know what Kimusabi means. Do you? Any idea? Kimusabi. Kimusabi. You know, it must mean, why don't you take off that stupid mask? Everybody knows who you are anyway. What are you wearing those tights for? Anyway, let's move along. True believers in Christ, I say true believers in Christ, are family. We are family. We are connected. Verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So if somebody is ill, we emphasize, what's the word? Empathize. Yes, thank you. I got to get a new set of teeth. We can empathize. We can sympathize with those people that are suffering. So when they come to mind, we can pray for them. But if one part of the body suffers, we all feel it. Because why? Because we're one body. The whole body suffers. All right, Romans 12:15, it says, rejoice with those who rejoice, but mourn with those who mourn. Again, we can sympathize, we can empathize, and we can rejoice with those that have got something to rejoice about. Makes us feel happy too, doesn't it? If one part of our body is in pain, it affects the whole body. Right? The whole body suffers. If you've got some kind of pain somewhere, I'm not talking about human beings that are a pain. I'm not about physical pain. The whole body suffers. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. The human body is interrelated, and so are we, the church. We need one another. We are a unit. We're part of a unit. Anyone ever been in the military? I know some has. Steve has. Rick. Anyone who's joined the military, whatever branch of service it is, you become part of a unit. They become part of something greater than themselves. All that matters is the unit. Not them as individuals. Likewise, once we get saved, God puts us in to his unit. It's called the church. We become part of the body of Christ. We are one unit. Once we get saved, we're saved by God's grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift from God, not lest anyone should boast. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We never even asked for it. It was purely because of God's grace that he saved us and his mercy and his compassion. Now, you need to remember that our good works do not save us. But once we are saved, we've become part of the body of Christ. We've been given those spiritual gifts. At conversion, once we're born again, it's then that we are to use those unique gifts to honor God, to build up his church, edify the church, and to draw people to Jesus so that they may be saved also, and also to fulfill our spiritual calling. We've all been called. We've all been given spiritual gifts. We're expected to use them and not use them. We need to use them to fulfill our calling until the Lord comes back, which he will. When he does come back, what's that hymn? Will he find us faithful? Will he find us faithful? There's so many people. Professing Christians, there were many that were raised in the church that have fallen away. They made that choice to leave the body. Maybe they were never saved, truly saved in the first place. Only God knows. But Jesus says that you will know them by their fruits, by their way of life, by the way they live, their attitude, the things that they say, the things that they do. You'll know them by their fruits. So we need to honor the Lord, build up the church, use the spiritual gifts that he's given to us, and fulfill our spiritual calling. And that way we'll be fulfilled. We will find satisfaction in doing that. If you don't use the gifts that he's given you, you don't feel fulfilled. It's like when you make something yourself. Have you ever made something? yourself, or you've done something, like whatever it is, or you instead of taking the car to get an oil change and you do it yourself, or you actually made something with your hands, you feel fulfilled. Hal is working on his school bus. It may take a few years, but he's working on it. He's going to get fulfillment when that job is done, because he's doing it himself with a little help from his friends. You find fulfillment when you do things. You fulfill your calling in this world. We're not expected just to get saved and do nothing. You know, we're not just supposed to be pew warmers. All right? We're supposed to use our gifts, and many of you do. And I, again, encourage you to get last week's CD to find out what your calling is, whether it's encouraging somebody or praying for somebody, writing a note of encouragement for somebody, giving financially. People have that gift, you know. And God uses the most unlikely body part to reach lost humanity. You, the most unlikely body part, he uses, or he wants to use you and I for his glory, so we can be also fulfilled and satisfied. We're saved by God's grace through believing faith in Jesus Christ. But once we get saved, we're expected to serve the Lord. We're expected to work. Our works do not save us. Our good deeds do not save us. But once we get saved, we're expected to do good works, good deeds. Use those spiritual gifts that God has given to us. James chapter 2, 17, 18 said, in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, well, you have faith, I have deeds or works. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. I'll prove that I'm truly saved by the things that I do. Not for my benefit, but for the body of Christ, to serve other people and for the glory of God. Not to draw attention to ourselves and say, what a good fellow he is or she is. Look what they do for us in order to get a pat on the back. You get no reward with that attitude. We should do it with a servant's attitude, to serve the church and bring glory to God. In verse 26, chapter 2, James, it says, as the body without the spirit is dead, talking about the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit, you're dead. Spiritually dead. And how can a spiritually dead person enter into heaven? It's impossible. This is why you need to be born again by the Holy Spirit, so you can be made spiritually alive. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So you've got faith? Prove it. In Missouri, they've got the bumper sticker. Show me. Show me. Prove it. All right? All right, let's just have a little swig. So, but like I just mentioned, doing good works, doing good deeds has to be done with the right motive. The reason being, because we love the Lord. That's why we do these things. Because we love the Lord. Certainly don't do it for the money. Amen? We do it because we love the Lord, for who he is, and for what he's done for us on the cross. Could you imagine how much you get paid, Betty, all these years serving the Lord and everybody here for years and years and years. If you got paid for what you did, you could be probably a millionaire by now, financial millionaire. You know what, though? You're going to get rewarded in heaven, which is far greater reward than you'd ever get down here, because it's eternal. It's eternal. It's going to last. Money doesn't last. Doesn't. All right. Good deeds without works is dead. We do it because we love Jesus for what he's done for us, what we don't deserve. So we can get the praise. Not that we want the credit. We don't want the credit. No. If we're looking for the credit, we're looking for the praise, we're not going to get it. We're not going to get a reward that will last forever. We're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things that we've done since we've been saved. And the things that we've done without the right motives, to get praise from man or for any other reason, or do it begrudgingly. We can do things begrudgingly in the Lord's name. It's not going to get a reward. It's going to be burned up. But the things done for the right motive, because we love Jesus, we want to serve him, we'll receive a reward. Not that we deserve it, but he thinks that we do, and he'll reward us accordingly. One day in heaven, we will receive a reward, as long as we have the right motives. Because we love the Lord, we want to honor the Lord, we want to bring praise to the Lord, we want to glorify the Lord, who has entrusted to us, his church, his body, the most important message given to mankind. What's that? Jesus saves. Jesus saves. I often, periodically anyway, about once a year, I go to see the cardiologist. And he said, what's the good word? He always says, a little Indian fella. Dr. Bhatnagar. He said, what's the good word? And I said, Jesus saves. No, you know him. Like Gandhi, isn't he? Okay. Unfortunately, like the Corinthian church, Christians don't always get along with each other, do they? Just like any family. All families don't always get along, unfortunately, with each other. It's just the same in the church. Can't please everybody. Yet God has called us to come together as one body. Put aside our selfish ambitions, to be spirit-led and to be spirit-filled. We need that every day. We need the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, every day, to lead us and fill us. Because like I said last week, we leak. We leak. We need to be refilled every day. We need to be topped up every day by the Holy Spirit. How do we do that? We confess our sins. Say, Lord, my attitude towards that person, it was not right. It was ungodly. I'm sorry. The things that I thought about were wrong. It's sin. My attitude, my heart towards that person, the things that I said, it was wrong. I acknowledge it as sin. Please forgive me. And he does. And you know the good thing about it? The most amazing thing? He doesn't hold a grudge and he forgets. He has the capacity, unlike us human beings, unfortunately, he has the capacity to forget. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had the capacity to forget those that have hurt us? But we don't. And like I've said in a previous sermon, it's you can forgive, but you don't necessarily forget, do you? No. But we can learn, we can move on. Hopefully they're not made the same mistakes again. Like George W. Bush says, and I'll say it again, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. for those that never heard it the first time, and it probably won't be the last time. Yeah, I think it will be. I don't think you're going to hear that one again. Not from me anyway. So, remember, there's no Lone Ranger Christians in the body of Christ. We can't go it alone. We need to make a difference in this world for Christ. We can. But surely we need to remember what Jesus did on that cross and the price that he paid to bring us to God. Not only to have our sins forgiven, which he has, thank God, past, present, and future, but also to continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is why church, meeting together as the body of Christ, is so important, because we don't know it all. Some people think they do. Unfortunately, they're unteachable. But I, for one, want to keep on learning. I have to learn this stuff before I can pass it on to you. So I think the more you learn, the less you know. But we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And there's so much to learn. This is why it's so important to keep on coming. Because if you don't come, if you miss it, you miss it. You don't know what God's going to say to you through a message like this. If you're not here, you missed it. It's too late. You've lost it. All right? So important. Vitally important. Mentioned it before. Almost finished. We need to get the burgers on. We need the Holy Spirit every day to guide us, don't we? And to teach us the way we ought to live. We need help. He's the Comforter. The Comforter has come. He is our help every single day. To enable us also to use those gifts, those spiritual gifts that he's given to us, gracefully given to us, to serve others and to serve him first and foremost. Just like Jesus, a prime example, the perfect role model, God incarnate, God, second person of the Trinity, became a man. And he said, recorded by Matthew chapter 20, and I'm almost done. Jesus says, whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. What an attitude. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your servant. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus is God, and he humbled himself and became a servant. And he teaches us how to live in this world as members of his body. God in human form made himself of no reputation. He made himself a servant in order to serve others, to serve you, to serve me. We owe him, don't we? We owe him a debt of gratitude that we'll never be able to pay. But I, for one, I'm going to try. But we can never repay him for what he's done for us. Never, never, never. He led by example. Don't ever complain when you're doing something for the church. Don't ever complain you're doing something for the Lord. There'll be no reward in that for you. Remember Jesus, who never complained, was willing to humble himself to serve others. Let's use the spiritual tools that God has given to us, just like those muscles. If we don't use it, We're going to get weak. Our faith will get weaker and weaker. Why do we do these things? Why should we do these things? Why should we have that attitude of being a servant to others and the church and to the Lord? Well, primarily to honor the Lord, to honor Him, to edify one another, to build each other up in the faith. We all need that. We all need it. The world out there, the flesh and the devil are out to destroy us. So we need one another. There should be no divisions within the body. Help build up the church and be a witness for Jesus Christ wherever we go in this world with the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it without Him. Amen? Amen. So let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You again for being here. We thank You for each one that's come out. And hope and pray that You've spoken to us to use whatever spiritual gift that we have, natural talents and abilities to use to serve one another, but ultimately to bring glory to You, for You alone deserve it. Maybe somebody listening to this message, wherever you may be, and you've heard that you need to be born again. Jesus said you must be born again if you want to go to heaven, if you want to see the kingdom of God. And you say, well, how can I do that? How can I be assured of going there when I die? Well, you can. You can be absolutely sure. You can be absolutely certain. And simply believe what Jesus has done for you on the cross. He was without sin, but He took your sins and He suffered in your place as your substitute so you wouldn't have to be punished for your sins. He died, He shed His blood, and He was buried, and then He rose again from the dead. And if you believe that in your heart, truly, you need to confess that with your mouth and say, yes, I truly believe that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead. And if you do that, you will be saved. And Romans chapter 10:13 says, for those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's only one Lord. It's not just enough to believe in Jesus. You need to receive Him as your Savior. And I hope and pray that you've done that, so that you can have eternal life that He's promised. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So, Father, thank You for this message. Thank You for Your word, and You've led us to this book. And may we put into practice the things that we've learned to serve others, but to honor You primarily, first and foremost. And we know that we will receive a reward, not that we deserve it, but because of Your benevolent grace and mercy. Amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.